prophecies, prophetic words about political candidates. How do we evaluate these? How do we test the spirits? And how do we work it out when it comes time to vote?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're going to talk about a really interesting subject today. It's biblical. It is contemporary. It is relevant, even in this presidential election cycle. By the way, if we wanted to talk about presidential elections, we could do that always, only, all day, all night. There's always something in the news. And for those who think that my main goal is to support one candidate or put down another candidate, No. My main goal is to honor the Lord on a daily basis, to make these shows as edifying, helpful, impacting, life-changing for each of you listening, to be as relevant as we possibly can in the biblical sense of how do we apply what God is saying in His Word to each of us today so we can live it out. And that applies to every area of culture. That applies to the presidential elections and applies to radical Islam. It applies to the state of the nation. It applies to the state of the church. It applies to how we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves in business, how we live on a daily basis. So what we're going to talk about today is biblical. And you're going to be, as you're listening to me, each of you coming from a different perspective. So let me lay this out for you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, I'm not announcing every day, well, so-and-so has endorsed this candidate. Well, this news story about that candidate. I'm addressing the major things that are on my heart, on my mind, major things that concern me, major things that come to my attention, major things that I think are important for you to understand and deal with. Not just what's in the news politically. It's not the purpose of the show, never has been. As far as I know, never will be. But here we have a fascinating intersection of the Bible and theology and politics. And it's in the realm of prophecy. Now, everyone listening here that holds to the Bible as the authority, your final authority, God's word, God's inspired word, then your question might be, does God's word in general speak to the times in which we're living in America? Does God's word in general address our situation? In that sense, is God saying anything to us about America, about the state of the nation, about the presidential elections? But then there are many charismatics, Pentecostals, of whom I am one. Many believe that the Holy Spirit continues to speak in many different ways, not authoritative scripture. The Bible is once for all God's authoritative word. We test things by the scriptures, all right? However, there are thousands of prophecies that were uttered in biblical times that were not recorded as scripture, and there were prophecies that were uttered and have been uttered since the canon of scripture has been completed that do not compete with scripture, that are not the voice of God in a binding way for all people worldwide. That is only the Bible. And that these words must be tested by Scripture and tested in other ways as well. And some of you might say, yeah, the Lord once laid it on my heart to take this job and not that one. And it was supernatural. It was the Lord. And others might say, yes, someone, a trusted friend, was praying for me and felt the Lord was really saying something, was accurate. We understand that's not the Bible. These are words from the Lord as opposed to the word of God. But there are prophets claiming God has spoken to them about the current elections, that God has spoken to them about particular candidates. And some Christians are basing their votes on these prophetic words. Is that dangerous? Is that honoring God? How do we test these words? 866-348-7884. A lot to talk about today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. My latest article is calling for Christian players in the NFL to threaten a boycott, to say, hey, we will sit out. We will not play if you continue to use us as pawns in the culture wars. If you continue to use us as pawns in the culture wars, we're here to play football and to entertain the crowds. We are not here to be tools, pawns in your culture wars and in threatening religious liberties of Americans. Now, hey, it's far-fetched that I could write something that would cause something like this to happen, but there are plenty of godly NFL players, people of conviction, and I know that my article has been sent directly to a number of them today, so we shall see, shall we not? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, prophecy. Do you believe that God still gives prophetic words today? That God will lay it on someone's heart to speak a word, and the Lord is saying to this church, you know, prepare for a challenging time ahead, but you're going to come through it if you stay close to me? Or is that just people's imagination, or worse still, demonic deception? Or when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14 and says, be eager to prophesy, then he never actually changed that. He never reversed that. There's nowhere in Scripture that says it would cease. Oh yeah, prophecy will cease the same as knowledge as we know it ceases when Jesus returns and we know him as he knows us face to face. But there's nothing in the New Testament that says that prophecy will stop. In fact, it says that the outpouring of the Spirit that began in Acts, the second chapter, is for all flesh through the last days. And it is for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call, the gift of the Spirit, which included prophecy. So based on Scripture, I have no reason whatsoever to question whether prophecy is for today. But I know there are many that do have questions and say, if it is, doesn't that compete with Scripture? And if it's God still speaking, isn't that revelation beyond the Bible? We could get new doctrine. So I understand why some have objections to this. And then there are the flaky, weird things that do happen. And by the way, you can weigh in either way. If you feel that prophecy is not for today, feel free to call and tell me why. And if you feel it is for today, feel free to call and tell me why. 866-348-7884. Yesterday, gunman is arrested, Capitol Hill. Larry Dawson of Tennessee was arrested for last year for shouting in the House. On Monday, he was shot by a cop inside the visitor's center. So according to the reports, this is all alleged, but according to the reports, this man, in a previous incident, announced himself as a prophet of God. All right? According to the reports, that he did not show up for a court appearance in November, as reported by the Washington Post, writing a letter to the court that said, I have been called, chosen, and sent unto you this day. I am not under the law. Therefore, I will not comply with the court order, nor will I surrender myself to your office. That's crazy. The guy's arrested. He is under authority to act and comply with the courts when he's arrested for breaking the law. It's one thing if the law says to you, you cannot preach the gospel, then we obey God rather than men. When we break the law through our wrong behavior, yeah, there is a penalty that we will pay. Absolutely. So here's the question. You've got these flaky people coming up with these flaky words and claiming to be prophets that are not. But there were flaky things that happened with the Corinthians. That did not disqualify them, did it? That didn't disqualify them from the real. Rather, Paul wrote that everything has to be tested. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, don't despise prophecies, because sometimes they can be despised or despicable or, you know, just wrong in many, many ways. And then Paul also says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit. Hold fast to that which is good. So that's what we have to do. When anything claims to be a word, and again, you may say you don't believe prophecies for today. Perfectly fine. Tell me why. When anything claims to be a word, it must be tested. I'm going to explain how we test things, but I want to give some specific examples when it comes to the political campaigns, all right? There are words going around that Donald Trump has been raised up by God as a Cyrus figure. That just as in the Old Testament, God used a pagan king to restore the Jewish people back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple, that God is using Donald Trump, a man who's not a believer, who doesn't know the Lord, but although he claims to, but he's being used to turn America in the right direction and to destroy a lot of the corrupt political system. Well, how do we evaluate that? If God's raising him up, I don't want to fight that. But it is just another prophetic word? Is it another example of charismania? How about the fact that another Christian leader has said that Ted Cruz has been anointed by God to be president of the United States? How about the pastors, 100 pastors, who laid hands on Hillary Clinton and pronounced over her that she will be the next president of the United States? I think back to words that were spoken about Bill Clinton, that he would unify the nation if the church would pray. And when he ended up dividing the nation in so many ways, we were told it's because we didn't pray sufficiently. Are these just cop-outs? Or are these just examples of prophetic words that can't be trusted that make the whole charismatic movement look bad or indicate that prophecy is not for today? Or is God speaking? Are there words that did come to pass? And we need to look at those honestly and earnestly and say, all right, how do we then judge this? I want to make this as practical as I can when we're dealing with the issue of prophecy. I was told, well, someone posted on my Facebook page, and we ultimately blocked them because we said we do not receive words from the person whose ministry you're following here. We do not regard this person as a prophet. And they kept sending these messages and said, I better take heed and listen. And one of them said that God would remove. And if I remember, that word remove was in caps, that God would remove those who opposed President Trump. What does that mean? Or opposed him in his presidency? Does that mean speaking the truth about him? Does that mean sounding the alarm with warnings? Does that mean exposing error or addressing issues? What does it actually mean? But that was enough for me, and I want to read it to you a little bit later so that when you hear it, that you will be able to say, okay, here's how we test this. Here's how we evaluate this. We are not ignorant, dumb sheep. We are the children of God. We are Jesus' sheep, and he says that his sheep know his voice and hear him and follow him. There is no good reason for us to be deceived. There is no good reason for us to be misled. There is no good reason for us to follow deceiving voices and spirits. Now, I know some will say, hey, that's why I follow Scripture alone and I don't listen to anything else. I mean, in terms of spiritual words. And I'm not going to get caught up in that nonsense. But others say, hey, one of the most significant things happened in my life when I received a prophetic word, and it was accurate. It was right on. I can think of times in my own life, friends, where a prophetic word confirmed some direction in my own life or spoke of some new unexpected direction, and sure enough, it was backed by the Lord. I can think of words that I spoke to others that I felt the Lord laid something on my heart. You deliver it and say, hey, pray about this, examine it, test it by the word. But I remember some words I spoke to others over the years that were life-changing, that were eye-opening, that confirmed the goodness of God in their lives and the nearness of God, and were life-changing for them. So we'll get into the nitty-gritty when we come back. 866-348-7884. And are you personally going to be influenced as to who you vote for based on prophetic words?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. All right, if someone comes and says they have a prophetic word, and in this prophetic word they say the Bible is no longer true, the Lord is now speaking through prophecy only, well, you throw the thing out. It's a false prophecy. If the word comes and says, now the Lord knows that when you were born in North Dakota, that it was cold and dark, and you're like, well, I was born in Florida on a sunny day, never been to North Dakota. Okay, see, factually, you could throw it out for that reason. Or sometimes you just know that you know that you know in your heart that something is wrong, and someone is saying something that's wrong. Now, there was a joke I heard in the church in which I was saved. And we believed, it was a Pentecostal church, we believed that the Holy Spirit still spoke in different ways today. We weren't seeking words. There were very few words that were ever given in the years that I was there. But every so often, there would be something spoken supernaturally. And I remember, I'll come to the joke in a moment. I remember one particular service, I'd been enjoying the presence of God so wonderfully, day in, day out, for months as a new believer. And I was on the worship team. The band I'd gotten saved with, we bring our instruments, bring my drums, and we actually play and accompany, very quietly play and accompany the church piano player as she played the hymns. Yeah, it was a little different than our old band with songs like Dance of the Mushroom Man. Those old enough to understand it will just smile, say, oh boy. So something had happened. It had been like a couple of days, and I just felt, or a day and a half, I just felt strangely absent from God's presence, that sense of joy, that sense of nearness I had been experiencing since he saved me and delivered me from drugs. It wasn't there. So during the service, during the worship, I prayed, and I just said, Lord, I just love to feel your presence again. And suddenly I felt that nearness, and then I felt embarrassed. What am I, some little child? Some little kid I always have to feel the presence of God. And just that moment, I'm talking about that literal moment, the pastor spoke in tongues and interpreted. That moment that I was thinking this. And he said, the Lord says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, quoting from Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, whether you feel me or not. Well, that was a wonderful, direct word from my loving Father to me, his child, at that moment. I remember hearing this joke, and there was a guy, a guest speaker, came in, and he had a prophetic word for a woman there and said, the Lord's raising you up and sending you as a missionary to China. She was very excited. Then he had a word over another man, didn't know it was the wife because they were in different parts of the building, didn't know it was the wife's husband, had a word over him, and yes, God's calling you to be a missionary to India. So they got in the car afterwards, and wife said, honey, the man of God had a prophecy for me. And he said, really? He had a prophecy for me too. Wow. And she said, yes, yes, honey. He said, I'm going to be a missionary. And the husband said, well, yes, yes, we're going to be missionaries. And she said, yes, we're going to China. He says, no, we're going to India. She said, no, 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 the man of God said China. He said, no, the man of God said India. Obviously, he didn't know they were husband and wife, and he was speaking out of his own mind, not from the Lord. So they went in to talk to him, and they said, could you resolve this for us? And he said, oh, yes, yes, God is calling you to Indochina. That was our joke. But how do you evaluate a word like this? Election update from heaven. The Father told me. Oh, how terrified is hell that their perpetual plan for bondage of America and her people is being ripped from their evil hands. Can you see now the web that has been woven behind your backs to steal your freedom and destroy your hope for a bright future? But I am changing that, and nothing will stop my plans. This is my time on the earth to expose in great detail the plans of Satan and those who serve him. For I am shaking everything that can be shaken, and many will fall and flee from the shaking. I will not refuse my true sons and daughters, those who do not hate, trash, or devour others with their words, who have prayed and asked for help from heaven. I am touching everything, and nothing will remain the same. Things must be uprooted and pulled down for permanent change to happen, and those who do not agree with my plans and my ways are best to remain silent until I am done, for I am not just setting America up for another revival, but for habitation of my presence and the glory. Pray and declare supernatural protection to continue for Trump. This is about Donald Trump. Now, so far, everything up to that, like, how do you know? Is God shaking everything? Is God going to bring revival? You could debate that scripturally, and you pray about it. Pray and declare supernatural protection to continue for Trump, his family, and those who will become a part of his administration and take notice of his journey as he responds more and more to my voice. If you will hear my plans in his bold words, some who would seek to harm him and do not seek their wicked attempts, prepare to see their removal. Those who are against him have already put into action a plot against his campaign to cause a mess up and make him appear a liar. But those who create the mess up will be exposed, and they will have a big mess that they are unable to clean up because I move my hand for him. I've turned the heart of the masses to support the all-American leader who is all for America. And it goes on. What do you think of that? Now, you may be voting for Donald Trump. That's fine. But what do you think of this prophecy? To me, there are several things in it completely bogus. In other words, I'm going to test this based on truth. I'm going to test this based on, like, if someone said, the Lord says I was with you and you were born in that cold storm in North Dakota. Well, you were actually born in a sunny summer day in Tampa, Florida. It's false. Therefore, I'm going to reject that as being real or true. There are many other things. Again, testing by the word, if someone manipulates for money using alleged gifts of the Spirit, that's not from God. There are details in here that are factually false. Okay? That, for example, that Donald Trump is responding more and more to God's voice. Well, God only knows what's happening in private, but public has been the opposite of that. And the people try to make him appear a liar. Well, he has lied. There's no question about that. He's lied about a number of things. He's completely waffled or flip-flopped or said something and then denied saying it. I mean, blatantly. You might say all politicians lie. Fine, that's not my point. And you may love Donald Trump as a candidate. That's not my point. My point is there are things in this word already that are factually false. Even that the masses are behind him. No, the masses are not behind him. He's the front-running candidate in the Republican Party, but the masses are absolutely not behind him. Why do I say that? Because the overwhelming majority are not with him in terms of voting thus far on the Republican side, total votes and things like that. And his unfavorability is massively high. So, again, there are inaccuracies here. Regardless of what God is or isn't doing in the current elections, how do we sort this all out? I'm going to keep talking about this for another hour and a half. You can listen live online by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, clicking on Listen Live, or just download the broadcast or podcast later.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, I'm looking at another word here that is published in a Christian magazine, and it says that, according to Kenneth Copeland, God is, quote, rebirthing America, and he's not abandoned us. Quote, you think our founding fathers, George Washington, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and others had any idea what this nation would look like in terms of its purpose and meaning? The answer is no. They had no frame of reference to know what was happening. And Kenneth Copeland claims the Lord told him the Christian community has no idea what God is doing to rebirth this nation. As he's praised recently, he's come to believe strongly that in spite of how things look, this is not the end of the United States. It's the end of what he calls a Babylon system trying to take over the country for the past 115 years. A Babylon system, as he explains it, is any system which man tries to meet, in which man tries to meet his needs without God. President Obama's actions are shining a light in this Babylonian system, and the church is waking up and rallying. So he's saying this, of course, by faith, but how do we evaluate that? Of course, some of you think Kenneth Copeland's a fine teacher, and some of you think he's a heretic, so that's a totally other subject. But we're going to sort these things out as practically as we can. 866-348-7884. We'll start in Newark, New Jersey. Ken, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
The first thing, before I forget this, gentleman, I used to listen to Mr. Camping.
Harold Camping. Oh,
right.
Boy.
Correct. And Camping always said, in these modern times, God won't speak to people. But if, because, he said, if a lot of people just believe God is the one that is speaking to them, which is just be the devil. But if God do speak to you and it comes true, then it is God. Now, take for example, I always believe 8 years ago when President Obama was running, I always believe I said that was the hands of God. He's going to show the world that in America there is going to be a colored president. Because nobody in America, I think 99% of the people ever believed there would ever be a colored president to rule America. Nobody believes that. And I always say, I believe along during the election that this is going to be the hands of the Lord is going to be. Regardless of his policies and all kind of thing, I'm not going into that. I'm just saying, God put him there. Now, I can remember, I'm from South America, and I can remember my friend say, one time his boss, they had a meeting, and he used the same word. His boss say, whenever you see a black president go into America, I don't know why he said it. He said, look out. That is one of the signs that are coming at the end of the world. And that man dead about 10 years ago and gone his way.
Uh-huh.
Now, take, for example, like Mr. Trump. I believe that not maybe God might be putting Trump up there. It may be Satan might be putting him up there to mix the pot up. When I say to mix the pot up, it's like Satan is putting him there to stir up things because things may not be going that well. Because when you look at it, a lot of church people that is voting for him, that I heard on your show, that you were surprised to know that these people was voting for him instead of voting for Cruz. So it got to be just like how God is putting people up.
And just to jump in, because we got a break here. There's no question that a lot of stuff is coming to the surface in terms of what's in people's hearts, what's in people's minds. A lot of stuff is coming to the surface for sure. Question is, what's God saying in the midst of it? All right, thanks.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me give you a word of wisdom in terms of candidates, in terms of voting. Just a word of wisdom. Don't vote for someone based on who you hope they will become, but are not presently. All right? Don't vote for someone based on changes you think they will make that are very different than who they are today and how they live. Vote for someone based to the best of what you can ascertain, not based on their promises, because politicians can promise, can't they? And politicians can say what they need to say to get elected. Some are ethical and some are not. But don't vote just based on the promises. Vote based on the track record. Now, some say, well, yeah, that's why I'm voting for Donald Trump, because he's done it. He's a mover. He's a shaker. He's a businessman. And that's what we need. All right. I understand. I have my differences with that. Others will say, well, that's why I'm voting for Senator Cruz, because, hey, he's stood against the establishment and he's a proven moral conservative. Right? That's why he has my vote. And then others for Hillary, Bernie, whatever. But don't vote for someone based on, well, the prophecy says that once he's elected, he'll do this or that. You know, listen, there are all kinds of prophetic words that are out there. There are all kinds of things that are being said. We must discern and test and then use wisdom. You say to me, Mike, do you know who's going to be elected? No. God speak to you about who's going to be elected? No. Are you praying for Ted Cruz to be elected? No. I'm praying, God, have mercy on America, and God, raise up the person that you have chosen to lead our nation. That's my prayer. Because ultimately, only God knows what is best. And what seems best in our eyes might end up being worse, and what seems worse in our eyes might end up being best. So in that respect, let God be God. I know churches that prayed fervently for the election of President Obama, prayed fervently for the election of Al Gore before that. Yeah, I thought that was completely wrong, had it for quite a number of reasons. My prayer is, God, your best, your plan, bring it to pass. But who God is going to raise up, how he's going to sort these things up, that's for God to know. What if we need judgment first? Wow, 223 days to the election. Amazing. What if the first thing is judgment, and then after that, restoration? One caller, Christian media guy, said that Donald Trump is raised up to bring destruction on the political system and Washington as we know it, you know, all the bad stuff. And another man said that he's a wrecking ball, a divine wrecking ball. And then after him, then someone like a Senator Cruz will come in and rebuild. Well, what if that was God's plan? What if we were going to get judged before we got blessed? But I don't know any of that. You say, but prophets have spoken, but I haven't heard myself. And I've heard competing prophecies. I've heard dueling prophecies, you could say, contradictory prophecies. Therefore, I put them aside. And then I say, okay, I've got to vote intelligently. I've got to vote based on what I know. It would be like saying, hey, Mike, we are investing all this kind of money to get you media coverage because God has shown us that he's going to anoint you to sing. And you're going to be like a top singer. Well, I don't sing right now. I don't sing right now. And you better be sure you heard that, because I'm not showing any signs of becoming a singer yet. 866-34-TRUTH. Danville, Virginia. Stuart, you're on the line of fire.
Hey, Doc. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm well.
All right, good. Hey, it actually looks like you lost a lot of weight since Brownsville Assembly, but did you?
Oh, yeah, well, I put some weight on after, and then I lost a lot more. I got as high as 275 pounds. I'm a big guy. I work out, but it's absolutely wrong. And I was as high as that in August of 2014, and the Lord helped me to radically change my lifestyle. I'm just finishing a book on it now that Nancy's going to help with as well, with the new lifestyle we've taken on. So from August of 2014... over those next less than 8 months, I lost 95 pounds. I weigh 180 or the low 180s now. And aside from fighting these bad allergies the last couple of weeks, my health is off the charts. So I've not been this thin and fit probably any other time in my life. But that takes us aside. But I always want to glory in the Lord for that. So that's why I took a minute. All right, to the subject at hand, Stuart.
I actually hit you up on Facebook. I'm the guy that said that I thought that Trump would be sort of a Xerxes, but I've been, and I asked you about Cruz. Would you put your kids' lives in, you know, his hands, so to speak? But, you know, I think you're right about a lot of things.
I do. You know, we have over 350,000 Facebook fans, and then many others join in that aren't part of it. But it's once in a blue moon that I'm able to respond to someone. But yes, I remember somehow. I spotted it, and I did respond, so I do remember you. Got it.
Yep, that's good. And I've met you about 6 or 7 times at Times Square Church.
Who
would Wilkerson vote for? That's what I'm curious, because we both know David was a great man. Who do you think he would have voted for?
Yeah, that's, look, I was
conjecture.
close to Leonard Ravenhill, whom David Wilkerson honored, and of course had a great relationship with David Wilkerson and preached for him probably about 40 times or more.
Yep.
From 1991 to 1995, who would he vote for? I mean, in my mind, his whole question is, what is God doing and what is God saying? It's almost like looking past the candidate to look at that. But at that time, we never really discussed those issues. I don't remember discussing political issues with David Wilkerson in terms of the vote or the election. If we did have discussions, nothing that I remember. But that's a fair question. Of course, only God knows the answer to that, but that's a fair question. So, specifically, anything today that you want to raise or weigh in on?
Yes, I think that people should take it. I think Cruz is probably a good man, and I think that Carson's a good man, and I think Trump, the only problem that I have with Trump, and I'm from Queens, I grew up in Whitestone. I live in Virginia now with 6 kids. I got 6 kids, but never mind that part. But I think that if people understood that these leaders and Cruz and Trump, they all are fallible men. And that's why I said on Facebook, I said it to people, I said, don't put too much faith in a man because man is going to disappoint you. And I think people need to understand that you're right. God may, you know, one guy says God may use Trump is a wrecking ball. Another guy say he may use Trump as a salvation. I don't know.
Yeah, but here's what we do know, Stuart. We have to be responsible, right?
Right.
And if, for example, I look at a candidate, let's call it candidate X, okay? And I see that candidate X told me one thing one day, and then a day later completely reversed his position when he was talking to someone else, that I see candidate X is clearly a liar, that I see candidate X has all kinds of qualities that would be negative and destructive for a leader, especially a president. And I go through my checklist. And for me, if the person's not a strong moral conservative, so if they're not strongly pro-life, strongly pro-marriage, and for me also strongly pro-Israel, they're not in contention for getting my vote on a national level. That's where I start. And then after that, I ask you the other questions. Okay, what kind of leader could they be, and how would they deal with economy? How would they deal with security? Things like that. And if I feel good, so they make it in the door, now I get to the next level, then I would vote for that person. I would need something very, very specific from the Lord, something very, very specific from the Lord telling me to deviate from that. In other words, look, God's ways are not our ways. He's doing unusual things behind the scenes. What looks like something bad is something good. Well, again, let God be God in that respect. But I would need to know that. Hey, thank you for calling. Listen, I would not make a personal decision in my life, let alone vote for president. I would not make a personal decision in my life based on a prophetic word, unless it clearly bore witness with my own heart, or I could confirm it by other words that were given, or that was clearly in confirmation of something that was in Scripture, and now just fleshed it out. I had a guy at my house one time, an Asian brother, many, many years ago, over 30 years ago. He and his wife came to talk to my wife and I. He had a dream, and in this dream, he was called to be a pastor. So he's been trying to become a pastor, but everything fails constantly, and he just, and so on. I said, well, do you have it in your heart to pastor? No. I said, do you feel called to pastor? No, but I had this dream. I said, well, that's obviously it's not your calling. It's not in your heart. You just had a dream. And he just didn't seem to be thinking rationally about it. So I thought, well, wives are always more rational than their husbands, or often are. And I said to the, many times anyway, I said to the wife, well, what do you think? She said, I think he should do whatever Reverend Brown says. I'm like, oh, no, I'm trying to get you to make decisions on your own before the Lord. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So listen, I want to give you some practical principles about prophecy, all right? I still have time. I may take another call to 866-348-7884. But I want to give you some practical principles. I've taught extensively on prophetic ministry. Is it for today? How do we evaluate it? What do the scriptures actually say? In my book, Authentic Fire, we have a great appendix written by Dr. Sam Storms, where he takes up all the objections to prophecy being for today in a very sound biblical way, and distinguishes between prophecy and the Bible. Okay, and there really are big, big differences. I want to repeat this. Only the Bible is God's authoritative word for all mankind for all time. Only the Bible. Everything else that claims to be a word from the Lord must be tested. All right? There is more. Only the Bible is our source of doctrine and our source of authoritative information about God. It doesn't matter how I feel about a particular thing. It doesn't matter I feel the Lord showed me this or that. It all must line up with Scripture when it comes to who God is and when it comes to what we believe. Now, let me go a little further. That being said, the gift of prophecy is something wonderful. Paul tells us to eagerly seek it. He tells us that it will cease when Jesus returns, at which point we won't need these things anymore. And he tells us not to despise prophecies. And personal prophecy can have many, many functions, okay? It can absolutely have many functions. It can have the function of giving you a word of encouragement when you're discouraged. You know, it can have the function of uncovering things and bringing clarity in your life. I remember one time praying over a woman. She was a friend of ours. My wife and I knew her well. She was my wife's best friend. She and her husband were good friends of ours, and we knew them well. But I was at the end of a service, she wanted prayer, and when I was praying for her, I had this sense, and I said to her, I sense that you have a Mary and a Martha inside of you competing, and explained what that meant. She began to cry. Well, why are you crying? Well, she had just been listening to a tape about Mary and Martha. And while listening to that tape on Mary and Martha, it spoke to her very, very directly. And the Lord had spoken to her own heart that there's a Mary and a Martha inside of her. And lo and behold, I now come and give her that exact same word. I've had that kind of thing happen many a time. It shows the love of the Father. It shows the nearness of the Father. When God was calling me out of secular work and calling me to vocational ministry work in the 80s, I heard clearly that I was to quit my job and go teach at a Bible school on Long Island. This is just the Holy Spirit speaking to my own heart. After sharing it with my wife, Nancy, our kids were real little then I I shared it with my mom to tell her that she's a widow, that we'd be moving out on the island about an hour away from where we were. And then I told my boss I'll be leaving in the fall. I received this word in the summer. I hadn't met with anyone at the school. At that point, they didn't know my name. But I knew it. I knew the Lord had spoken it. So the pastor of the congregation I was part of then really felt this was from the Lord as well. In fact, he had felt it before I did. And he was taking some summer classes there, so I visited one of the classes. And the guy that was leading the class, teaching the class, didn't know me from Adam. And the pastor said, hey, here's they're introducing guests that were there. He said, here's Michael Brown, etc. And at that point, I hadn't finished my PhD yet. And I was working as a salesman, a commissioned salesman. And it was an industrial heating. I didn't know much about it, but enough to sell the particular products, and these boilers and these energy conservation things and whatever. You know, it was industrial. And the guy says, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a salesman, you know, it's industrial heating, you know, but waiting for the Lord to call me out of that. And he said, the Lord's about to call you out of that, and you're going to be heating people up for Jesus. And next thing, we sit and meet, and he's all excited. He said, man, I believe you're supposed to teach here and so on. And he was just there interim. And then when the guy that actually came in who had the power to hire and fire, sure enough, he met with me and was excited and said, okay, great. I do want to hire you. You'll be the next person we hire. But right now, all of our staff is here. You know, but you'll be the next person that we bring on. And lo and behold, the guy that was teaching what I would have been teaching as the Old Testament professor, there were just two profs and the director of the school when the school started. It was a brand new school called Christ for the Nations on Long Island. It was a branch of the school, that great school that was birthed in Dallas many years ago. And the school existed on Long Island from 83 to 91. This, it so happens that the guy that was teaching there is going to leave out of the blue. He's going to leave, and suddenly there's a spot for me. I mean, he just started there. So I show up on a Sunday afternoon, and they are going to make an announcement to the student body. It's a new school. It's a little jarring that you got the two main profs and the director of the school, and one of the profs is leaving. And some of the students knew me because I was teaching a night class for them. And the director decided this is the Sunday that we make an announcement that this professor is leaving. I happen to be there that Sunday. I'm going to be the guy that replaces him. And the guy, a local pastor, gets up to speak. And before he speaks, he has a word about this Old Testament professor. The Lord showed me that you're leaving. You're going to be leaving. And the director got up literally shaking and said, I was going to make that announcement today. And Mr. Brown, who's going to be replacing him, is here. Yeah, it got our attention. And that same guy, sometime after that, had a word over me. That this was not my permanent home, which God had spoken to me when I started there. I mean, I thought the school would be there for decades and I'd teach there for decades, but no, I knew it would be temporary. It was not my permanent home, and God was using it to teach me and train me for the future. And yeah, I learned a lot under the director there, really a lot of wisdom learned from him. And they said, I see you being called into pastoral ministry. I thought, oh, come on, say the word right if you're going to give a prophetic word. It's pastoral, not pastoral. And I thought, but I'm absolutely not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. But I couldn't shake the thing because part one was accurate and part two was accurate and part three, something was just going on. And before you know it, this pastor friend of mine I'd mentioned earlier tragically destroyed his ministry, committed adultery, had to step down. We had to remove him. He was unrepentant. We had to remove him. And I had to take over the church. I had to become the pastor until we found an interim pastor. It helped prepare me. These are wonderful things, but everything must be tested. And I encourage you, when it comes to presidential elections, don't base things on someone else's prophecy. Pray, look, and decide for yourself. My bottom line today, let us act wisely when we cast our vote, not based on speculation, but based on information. Prophecies, prophetic words about political candidates. How do we evaluate these? How do we test the spirits? And how do we work it out when it comes time to vote?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to focus on North Carolina for a moment because I live in North Carolina. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to The Line of Fire. North Carolina is in national news right now. North Carolina is in the crosshairs of major controversy for simply passing a common sense public safety bill and for simply saying that local governments cannot go beyond their constitutional powers in North Carolina, not restricting businesses or private companies from taking whatever actions they want in LGBT issues, but simply saying we are not going to enforce this on the entire public and discriminate against the entire public and inconvenience the entire public because of the struggles of a few. And now the ACLU, Lambda Legal and others have launched a suit against the state. There's all types of bullying and threatening. If you live in North Carolina and have not yet contacted Governor McCrory and your elected officials in your particular district, it's very easy to get online and find out. Please take a minute to do it. Can I ask you to do that? The governor is under unceasing attack. Editorial in the Charlotte Observer comparing Governor McCrory to George Wallace. I mean, this is ugly stuff. This is not just inaccurate, it's ugly. These are insidious, false accusations. But it's the standard misinformation that's going to circulate. And right now, from everything we know, the large majority of the people of North Carolina stand with the governor and the assembly on this so-called bathroom bill that says that you use the bathroom of corresponding to your birth certificate gender in public bathrooms and locker rooms. Can you believe that over that, the NBA is threatening to pull its all-star game from Charlotte? Can you believe that companies like Bank of America and Wells Fargo and Apple and American Airlines are threatening the state of North Carolina for passing something like that? You got to be kidding me. This is not political correctness. This is political correctness on steroids. Dennis, grab clip number two. Listen to what Attorney General Ray Cooper has said. Roy Cooper, excuse me. He is going to be running for governor. He's currently the Attorney General. He's a Democrat. And when this was voted on, it totally divided. It totally divided between Republicans and Democrats. And there's an overwhelming Republican president in both state houses, Republican majority in both state houses. But listen to what Roy Cooper said, the Attorney General, saying he will not defend the law passed by the state. Clip number two.
Now, we know that businesses here and all over the country have taken a strong stance in opposition to this law, and that even conventions and sporting event organizers are rethinking their plans. The threats to our economy will grow even darker the longer this law stays in effect. It will also cause a flood of litigation.
So what does that have to do with what's right and what's wrong? What does that have to do with what's right and wrong? Mr. Cooper, could you please explain that to me? We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I spent the first hour of the broadcast today talking about prophecies about different candidates. This one prophesying Ted Cruz is called and anointed. This one prophesying God's raising up Donald Trump. This one prophesying that Hillary Clinton's the next president of the United States. How do you sort that out? Some say, easy, I don't believe in prophecy today, throw the whole thing out. Others say, well, I test the words, I test the person's track record, I test how it lines up with Scripture, so on and so forth. I want to encourage you, though, when it comes time to vote, don't vote based on speculation, but based on information. Before I get back to the subject about prophecy, though, I just want to focus another moment on the North Carolina situation. Notice in the clip I played for you, it's not everything Attorney General Cooper said, but in the clip I played for you, he did not address what's right and wrong in that clip. He addressed the businesses that are coming against the bill. He addressed the sports agencies coming against the bill. So what does that mean? Do you sell your soul for money? Do you sell your soul for material prosperity? Do you sell your soul for success? You say, yeah, but he's the attorney general for the state of North Carolina. He's got to be concerned about what's best for North Carolina. No, no, he's got to be concerned about the law. That's what the attorney general does. He's not the moral policeman or the moral arbiter in that respect. He's got to enforce the law. He's got to litigate what's in the law. That's what his job is. So that's what he's appointed to do. He's the state's attorney. So when the state is attacked, the state's attorney says, okay, I will defend the case. Not going to defend this. Why? Sir, is it your heartfelt conviction that your wife or your daughters, if you have them, or granddaughters, depending on how old you are, it's your heartfelt conviction that North Carolina would be a better place if when they're working out at the YMCA, that a biological male could walk into their shower stall or locker room? You think that's going to make North Carolina a better place? Are you aware that on the Forbes list of the 10 top states economically, creating jobs, prospering, whatever the evaluation is, that 7 out of the 10 top states, including North Carolina, which is number 3, do not have these laws in place, these so-called anti-discrimination laws, LGBT anti-discrimination laws? Are you aware, sir, that the companies protesting like Bank of America and Wells Fargo and these others all have these things in place? In other words, no one's stopping a private company from having whatever law it wants, or custom or standard. If a company in North Carolina, for example, wants to say that we're gonna pay for a sex change surgery for anyone who wants it, with doctor's recommendation, we're gonna pay for this part of your insurance policy. They have the prerogative to do it. If they want to take away male female bathrooms to the whole building and say they're all gender neutral, they can do that. It's up to them as a private company. So all the companies that are complaining have all these policies in place already. All we're talking about is you can't force it on the rest of the public. You, sir, Mr. Cooper, are going to refuse to defend a bill that prevents heterosexual predators from abusing it and using it for their purposes? You say, that's not a transgender person. I didn't say a transgender. I said a heterosexual predator. That there are documented cases. There's a video I linked in my article on Monday about a time to wake up and take a stand that documents sexual predator after sexual predator after sexual predator going into ladies' bathrooms and locker rooms, dressed, men dressed as women. They were heterosexual predators. How can you tell? Please, someone tell me. How can you tell that person from the legitimate person who is genuinely confused about their gender identity, who suffered torment for years because they felt they were trapped in the wrong body. And now they end up saying, okay, I'm gonna used to be called cross dressing. I'm gonna cross dress and I'm gonna start to see how I feel about doing that. There are doctors who recommend someone lose like that a year or two before they even do hormones and things like that, just so they can feel how it feels. So how are you going to tell that person who is genuinely confused about their gender identity and has a real handicap issue for whom we have compassion from the person who is a sexual predator and that is going to use these opportunities to be voyeuristic or worse? And what do you tell the women who say, look, just the fact that it's a man in a dress, I know he's a man. You know, he may have had sex change surgery when he's 70 years old, or maybe on hormones, say, female hormones, and he's 70 years old, but he's obviously a man. I'm uncomfortable with him in the ladies' room. I'm uncomfortable with him. You say, well, where does he go? Okay, that's a genuine problem for that person, but they are making choices, are they not? In other words, here is a male who is making the choice to dress as a woman. You say, well, it's very deep in him. I'm not denying that. But he's making a choice, is he not? And when he makes that choice, that now there are consequences. When he goes out dressed as a woman, he may have to find a place that just has individual stalls, individual rooms, rather. You know, or here's the bathroom. It's not men or women. Here's the bathroom. Unisex. And there's one person at a time that goes in there. It may be inconvenient. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, it is a choice he has made. What is wrong, what is unjust, what is unfair, what is bigoted, is to now impose that on the rest of the society. To impose that on the little girls who were traumatized by the man in the dress in their bathroom. They need to learn to be more tolerant. No, they're little girls. They understand this is a girl's room. They understand that's not a girl. That is the adult. That is the one with the issue, the problem, again, for whom we have compassion. But that is not now imposed on others. I remember hearing last year a testimony before the Charlotte City Council. A woman testified that she had been raped in a bathroom by a man and that it's traumatic for her to this day to go to the ladies' room in public. So she's at a restaurant, she's at a sports event, she's at a store, she has to use a public restroom. She said it's traumatic for her to this day to go in there because she was raped by a man. She said just the presence of a biological male, even if he's not some sexual predator, would make it absolutely unthinkable that she could be able to go in the bathroom. Paraphrasing. Does she not matter? Do the 99 point whatever percent of the people not matter? Is the only thing that matters today, is the only thing that matters extreme political correctness? And who's going to stand up to the bullies? Friends, pray for Governor McCrory. Pray for the legislative leaders who took their stand. I got an email last night. Someone said I called each of the leaders, and the people answering the phone said it's been a very rough day. People calling very abusive, very angry. And they don't represent the majority. The majority of the people of North Carolina do not want this bathroom bill, according to all the polls I've seen. By the way, just got this email from North Carolina Values. The KeepNCSafe.org coalition has released this statement. While business owners in other states have received criticism and have even been forced out of business for standing up for common sense, 334, this is just so far, 334 of North Carolina business owners have signed on to a letter thanking Governor Pat McCrory and the General Assembly for passing a law affirming the privacy and safety of businesses, women, and children to live and work in accordance with their deeply held beliefs. These businesses support and applaud Governor McCrory for supporting women and children over being politically correct. Yep. That sounds like one of the guys. You ever see Sesame Street many years ago? They had these little aliens. They had these alien puppets that would talk like, yep, 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 yep. They'd see like a telephone for the first time or radio for the first time. I gave it a triple yup there. And according to data that I have seen, 70% of the people of North Carolina wanted the bathroom bill passed by the city of Charlotte repealed. 70% of the people of North Carolina. And that's just what this bill has done. Pray for the North Carolina leadership to stand strong and not to cave in the way Nathan Deal did in Georgia and Asa Hutchinson did in Arkansas and Mike Pence did in Indiana, although at least there are some pushes back from some of them.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're switching subjects now. 866-348-7884. And we're talking about the issue of prophetic words and presidential candidates. I've been very outspoken against Donald Trump out of grave concerns as to who he is and what he would bring as president. Some said, you're missing God on this, because when he didn't even look like a likely candidate, there were words that God was going to raise him up and God was going to use him as a Cyrus, and he's going to be the 45th president of the United States, and he's going to be a wrecking ball in the political establishment, and God's going to save him and fill him with the Spirit, and he's going to be amazing. Well, I don't want to work against God or oppose God, but I've gone to the Lord. I've gotten on my knees. I said, Father, my ears are open. I feel burdened to speak, but I'm not going to speak if you don't want me to. How do we sort these things out? Do we just throw it all out, forget all the prophecies, forget them all, look at scriptural principles, look at someone's track record, and act accordingly? Does the Bible address this present election? I certainly say not directly. Yes, I will say it again. The Bible does not directly address this current election, although there are certainly biblical principles that can apply in every election and to the state of the nation today. But how do we sort this out? What about the 100 pastors who laid hands on Hillary Clinton and said she's anointed to be president? Not the exact quote, but basic quote. What about someone else who said that God's raised up Ted Cruz and anointed and called him to be president? I imagine there were some that said it was Marco Rubio or Ben Carson or others. Probably Bernie Sanders. There's some say that too, right? How do we sort all this out? 866-34-TRUTH. We start in Franklin, West Virginia. Aaron, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I would first like to say thank you for your passion. I would also like to thank you for your hard work. A lot of people think that you just get behind a microphone. They don't realize there is extensive work behind this. But what I wanted to speak on is what I feel is a systemic issue within the body. A lot of the things that I feel is that, and I'm just conveying this, and maybe you can help me. I've went to Bible college. I've been around a lot of people. One of the things I feel often is that the body has become so learned that we have dumbed down the anointing, the power, and the free moving of the Holy Spirit. There are so many different schisms that we have in the body. It goes from political, racial. We're still stuck on doctrines. I'm a black man, and it's not a big deal that I'm a black man. There's many. But I can't understand. Some of these things are extremely simple, Dr. Brown. How could you lay hands on someone who believes in killing little babies?
Yes, sir.
And how in the world can you call yourself a man and woman of God and stand knowing that the Word of God, without any apology, says that marriage is defined as a man with a woman? It is not that you cannot procreate with a man and a man. I know people get mad about these things. But I feel, and the third thing I'd like to say is I feel that we need to have, where is the boldness of the body. When you read in Acts, you see that when Peter and John were thrown out, they were let go after being beaten. But it said the spirit of boldness came upon them. Where was the boldness of Paul? Where's the boldness of our rabbi, Jesus, Yeshua? We don't have this anymore. And yesterday you said something that spurned me. You said, when do we stand up? And mm-hmm. I said to myself, I said, I am but one with my wife and my children. But I said, today we're standing up. We are going to, I don't want to use adages of today, we're taking back America. I want to take back all ground that belongs to Christ. And I think that's what we should do, and this has caused the body. We have lost now. I still believe in Ephesians chapter 4 that God has given apostles, prophets. He's given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I still believe in that, but I'm afraid that so many people have been convinced. I understand, and I agree that we should learn as much as we can, study to show thyself. I believe that. But we have exchanged gods for what we call study and knowledge, and we have forgotten that God is still all-powerful, and he speaks, and he moves. And that is deadly. It is deadly. And I'll end with this, Dr. Brown. When Jesus spoke, he said, I give the Holy Spirit will come to you. And he said, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. And then he said, in the 28th verse, he said, or the 27th verse, he said, the peace I leave with you, he said, this peace the world can't give you.
Right.
That's what I would suggest to all people to do. Rely on that peace. Pray. Do what you said. Learn about these men. Make an accurate, natural vote, and then go get in your prayer closet.
Yes, sir. Amen to all of that. Thank you and your family for taking a stand and being in this together. It is time, if not now, when? I don't mean take a stand in the elections, but take a stand. I will be a counterculture follower of Jesus. I will not swim with the tide. I will not go with the grain. I will honor the Lord, whatever the cost or the consequence. Hey, that's being a disciple, and it starts in your own relationship with God and in your own family. Hey, Aaron, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH, our friend Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
My brother, I am so grieved but also excited that finally we're getting more aware of what's going on. And I totally agree with Aaron that there is, you know, that boldness is needed. I was in a Beth Moore Bible study this morning, and I was looking at the phenomenon of Trump, and she said something that clicked. And let me see if you see this too. She said that nowadays in our culture, people are so obsessed with celebrity that they'll hang on to that celebrity no matter whatever the cost. And I think that prophets may even be deceived when they're thinking that a celebrity will fit the bill when the Bible says something totally different.
Oh, there's no question that a lot of this comes down to reality TV star and the mega leader who's going to change everything and so on. Oh yeah, there's no question whatsoever that's a big part of what's happening.
What I think is happening though is that people are so beguiled by that they are chucking the Bible and trusting in the hand of man instead of trusting in the hand of God.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I agree with that, and that's definitely something happening. And if prophetic leaders are saying that, amen. Hear it. Thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the line of fire. It is a joy to be with you. This is Michael Brown. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. As I have been reading scripture, I've been thinking about God's activity in the world today. When you read the Bible, it tells us specifically that God did this or God did that, that God was pleased with this king and blessed the nation. God was displeased with this other king and sent the nation into exile and warned the people through his prophets as to what he was doing. When you read books like Kings and Chronicles, they take us behind the scenes. They take us into another world in that respect. They tell us what's going on, explain the natural through the spiritual. Well, we have access to the same God that the prophets did, but the Bible is not being written today. The Bible has been written. The fruit of the word, the ongoing acts of the Holy Spirit, those are being written every single day. The results of the gospel, it's being written every single day. But what was God doing in World War I? What was God doing in World War II? What is God doing in the midst of the rise of radical Islam? What is God doing with Israel in the midst of the attacks? What is God doing in America? What is God doing with the elections? Now, I got a simple question for you. It's very simple, but it probably gets different answers. 866-348-7884, the number to call. All right. When we have a situation like America, where we're a democratic republic and we vote for who we want to be the president and other elected officials, does our vote correspond to God's will? A simple question, but you might say to me, okay, what do you mean by God's will? Okay, when all is said and done, that when we have cast our votes, that we have put in office the person that God has chosen to be in office because God is sovereign, or is it that we made our choice and God may be displeased with our choice and say, I didn't want him in office, I wanted her. I didn't want her, I wanted him. Is that possible? Well, you say, well, yeah, it says in Luke 4 that Satan raises up one and puts down another. He's in charge of this world. Yeah, but he's also a liar. Could have been lying. He lies elsewhere there and misuses scripture. Plus, Daniel 2 says that God sets up kings and removes kings, which would mean even if Satan does have influence and authority, because he is the god of this age, after all, and the one that people worship and bow down to, well, the fact of the matter is that God is ultimately at work. So does that mean that when we cast our votes, that we end up with the president of God's choosing? Or is it the president of our choosing? And our choices will correspond with God's choice to the extent that we are walking in obedience with him and intimacy with him. Oh, maybe you haven't thought of that question. But it's making me ask myself, what is God doing behind the scenes? What is God doing in America right now? A couple of minutes, we'll be joined by Reverend James Robison. And I want to get his take. I want to ask him, how do you sort out the different prophecies over different candidates, especially if we believe that the Holy Spirit is still speaking today? So we're going to take this issue up. We want to be as informative and edifying as we can. Oh, and did you read my article calling for NFL, Christian NFL players to boycott the league if the league continues to use them as pawns in the culture wars? Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. We'll be right back.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A couple of little practical principles for you. When you go to vote, don't vote based on speculation, but based on information. All right? Don't vote based on speculation. Well, I heard this, and someone said this, and I thought this. What about this? I'm not sure. No. Get facts. Get information. It's available. On major issues concerning the candidates, it's available. You know any bogus things I hear on internet? Hey, look, I was sent an article. I saw a headline. I was sent an article. I looked at it. I thought it was a reliable source. It said that the Pope had said that through weapons of love, we conquer terrorism. I thought, what? Yeah, you win terrorists to the Lord, but it's a military option as well. You need to have security and all of this. And I tweeted something out. Does the Pope use weapons of love for his personal security? Well, then someone sent a note later that he had been misrepresented. And it was a complete bogus story. It was a complete misrepresentation of his point. I read his whole speech. Well, what happened there was I thought the source was reliable. I didn't investigate myself. And it was a major headline elsewhere. That can be dangerous. So there's a lot of speculation. Let's double check. Let's vote based on information, not speculation. And let's not vote based on what we think someone is going to be or become, rather who they are. So I am joined now by a man for decades who's been on the front lines spiritually, but also behind the scenes, speaking into the lives of presidential candidates, going back to Ronald Reagan and others, Reverend James Robinson. James, thanks so much for joining us again on this Tuesday on the Line of Fire.
Yeah, good to be with you, Michael. Thank you, sir.
Sure thing. All right, so if folks go to your website, stream.org, they'll find articles every day with reliable news, with inspiration, and with great opinion columns giving us insight on what's happening in society. But for those who believe that the Holy Spirit's still speaking in various ways today, how do they sort this out? I've heard prophecies that God has raised up Donald Trump to be the president, that those who oppose him will be removed, that he's a divine wrecking ball to destroy the political establishment. I've heard prophecies that God has anointed Ted Cruz to be president. 100 pastors laid hands on Hillary Clinton and said she's anointed to be president. How do we sort these things out if we believe the Holy Spirit's still speaking today? How do we sort these out, which are clearly contradictory prophetic words?
Well, I would say that you've got to take with caution anyone who announces that they're giving you a prophetic word. I think that people recognize wisdom that comes from above, and I think right off the bat, if the church is supposed to be salt and light, illuminate the way, expose error, light does it effectively, and don't allow the light to be covered. And if you're salt, you're protecting the precious. That certainly includes life, marriage, family, and it would include freedom. It is for freedom Christ made us free, so it's precious. When you move beyond that and you start telling people God has chosen this person, you know, even the Christian community back when Reagan stepped forward did not endorse him per se at all. And I made it very clear that we would not. He, in fact, endorsed what the Christian leaders said they believed and demonstrated they believed. And that came as quite a shock. Here is a man endorsing these things. Mm. And I think it's very important if we understand a document as being valuable to freedom and to the people, then we should treasure it. Not worship it, but treasure it, and build on the foundation stones. When people start telling you this is God's man, I would go on real caution. I think it's dangerous. I think God can use anyone to do magnificent things. Mm-hmm. But to try to tell someone that, you know, this is God's chosen person, I even think that gets the person in trouble if they happen to believe that's actually who they are. And the messianic complex has not fit anyone well. There was only one Messiah, and he alone knew how to wear that crown regally and appropriately. And he did not boast in it or thrust it on people. He demonstrated the power of the relationship that he had with the Father that he came to share with us. Mm. I think Christians should go on red alert when they begin to hear this kind of stuff. To pray for all these people, to seek to deliver the message of the king to would-be kings, that's the assignment of the church, pastors and church leaders, and frankly, all believers.
Mm. Yeah, so this looking to a political savior is always a downfall, and yet it seems with every election cycle, many of us do that very thing. Let me just shift for a moment to something else that's pressing. And again, you've lived through. A few weeks back, I asked you about the moral majority and things that were right and then where things got off track. And you had some real insights for us. I live in North Carolina right now. You know what happened in your state of Texas in Houston, where the people of Houston stood up against gay activism when the NFL threatened to pull the Super Bowl from Houston. It didn't happen. The governor of Atlanta yesterday said he was going to veto the religious freedoms bill there, which is a very bare bones religious freedoms bill. I mean, it was so basic. He caves into the pressure there, and the NFL said, "Well, we won't consider you. We may not consider you for future Super Bowls." And then on top of that, here in North Carolina, as the governor has stood strong, even though major corporations are coming against him, and the NBA is potentially threatening removing the next year's All-Star game from Charlotte, is there a way for us to stand strong in the midst of the culture wars without driving the world away? In other words, we want to be moral, we want to do what's right, we want to stand for liberties and freedoms. At the same time, when we stand for these things, many people in the world now think that we're bigoted and hateful and oppose them. How do we balance this tension in something we're all living through today?
It's very difficult now, Michael, when it's being forced on us. It's the threats that come against Christians. Christians are a very assaulted community, especially if they're serious about the Word of God. And they take living it as a matter of supreme importance and sharing it, they are real targets. I mean, the easy thing would be for me to say, well, you know, let's just boycott, let's just shut these things down. It could come to that. If push comes to shove, we could reach the place that the entire Christian community is going to have to stand together and say, we're not going to purchase from companies that force their beliefs and their misguided ideologies on us and threaten us. We're simply not going to tolerate it. We will not shop there. We won't do it. I don't like to propose that kind of action. But the fact is, we may be pushed to the wall to where Christians just finally have to say, we won't be shopping where you take this stand. We will do everything we can to move away from the necessity of that particular product and find an alternative. I don't like to say that, but I'll tell you what, it's not pretty. And I think the stage is set for the ugliest, most potentially violent months and weeks leading up to the election. I really believe unless Christians really pray, really allow the love of God to prevail, but also the conviction and courage to stand by those things we know are true, and we don't have to do it in a haughty, mean manner. We just simply say we won't move. And really, it's that kind of conviction that leads to the awakening. We don't have to be mean-spirited. We don't have to take up the tactics of the world. But I'm telling you, it's getting very serious. I think you give very wise counsel. I think you gave wise counsel today on the stream in a new article where you talk about the football players and the way they're being misused to literally forward something that most all of them as men and as athletes don't agree with, certainly as Christians and family-centered Americans don't agree with. And they're being used. And so, you know, you actually use the term boycott. Christian players walk off. I wonder if they would be willing to do that, to sacrifice that future, to say, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I think we're going to have to be willing to lay down our lives for what is right and certainly live our lives for what is right.
Yeah, and look, the fact is that's the norm. You've been around the world. I've been around the world. When we baptize people in India, my brother there who's been stoned and who's lost people to martyrdom, he asked them at water baptism, are you willing to die for Jesus? He won't baptize them unless they say it. I had a guest on working in the Muslim world. He said, before they baptize them, they said, are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Are you willing to die for Jesus? Right now, thankfully in America, we're not being beheaded. We have tremendous liberty still in America. But the idea that some of us wouldn't sacrifice our comforts, that some of us wouldn't do something a little inconvenient, for the sake of what's right, it speaks a lot. about the state of the church. And friends, I'm looking at that article right now on the stream, stream.org. It's time for Christian players to boycott the NFL, simply to say, hey, stop using us as pawns in the culture war. Let's just be about football, not about the culture war. James, as always, it's a delight to speak to you. And I just want you to know that having gotten to know you this last year plus, your voice is always in my ear speaking love, love, love. I want you to know that from my heart.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And I think that we as Christians must refuse to be divided against one another and Amen. Stand in harmony with God.
Amen. Thanks, sir. Look forward to speaking with you next week.
All right. You too.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Look, things are going to get unbelievably volatile as we get closer to the election. We haven't even selected the candidates yet. Bernie Sanders has this massive weekend and you know, wins all three states and wins massively, decisively. And things continue to shake up on the Republican side. And it's been almost bloody in that respect. And we haven't even gotten to the Republican versus Democrat yet, whoever those two end up. So I just want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, keep your emotions in check by praying and worshiping, because it's frustrating. And look, whether you, if you agree with points I've made, you're cheering me on, and others are foaming at the mouth. You're so upset. Figure of speech. You're so upset with me. Mike, I used to like your show, but you don't like my candidate. And I'm not demeaning that. I understand it's upsetting. And then others, you know, you're. You wish I'd be more passionate about this, and we're all frustrated. But no, that's not act. That's not the news. That's not the way it happened. I mean, just a tiny little thing. This is tiny, tiny, tiny. I always have to laugh about it. Nancy started to notice this pattern. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. Nancy started to go notice this pattern where they'd be announcing, you know, Bernie Sanders with a huge, I've always said huge, it's the New Yorker. Bernie Sanders with a huge lead in this state. Okay, Hillary Clinton with a decisive victory here. Donald Trump dominating here. Ted Cruz wins here. She started pointing it out to me, so I started watching for it. And sure enough, I'm watching the other day. They're recapping what happened with Trump getting Arizona and Cruz getting Utah. And Cruz got almost 70% of the vote in Utah. He crushed it there. Trump was strong in Arizona, but not nearly as strong as Cruz was in Utah. And I watched it. It was CNN, and I'm not saying they're pro-Trump in any way, but it, for whatever reason, dominating victory for Trump in Arizona, Cruz wins Utah. I thought, you got to be kidding me. So it's just so much the way it gets reported. It can be frustrating, but remember, God is on the throne, and we have no political savior. As much as I would love to see Senator Cruz elected, but I do not pray for that. I pray for God's will, because I do not know what God is going to do and what is ultimately best, okay? I bow down and worship God and say, Lord, you bring about what's best for our nation. The fact of the matter is that ultimately my trust is in the risen Savior, not in a political candidate, and certainly not in a political party, and sometimes not even in the political process. 866-34-TRUTH. Mary in Durham, North Carolina. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yeah, if you are Mary in Durham, I'm talking to you.
Well, it's done.
Okay.
Anyway,
sorry about that.
Brown,
I got the wrong place on my screen. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to all this candidate stuff, and I have read two of the books of Dr. Ben Carson, and I read most of of Ted Cruz's book also. So I feel like I am informed, and I've been listening and watching a lot of stuff and everything. But one of the things that has really, really shocked me is that strong, committed Christians have actually supported Donald Trump. And it's hard for me to understand how somebody, a strong a Christian, can support him the way he is in his campaign, offending people, making all these personal attacks, berating them and demeaning them. I mean, it's almost like he kills people with his words if they're not for him. And I don't understand how, you know, a Christian can support those kind of actions. And how do we know that he's not going to be like that as president?
Yes, and that's the concern, Mary. And let me say, I 100% share your concerns, amplified 100 times. I've written about it consistently, especially challenging evangelical Christians by saying the man is unreliable. He switches his opinions from day to day. He is vulgar. Yeah. He attacks and demeans others. He's stirring up international strife already. He's dividing the nation in unhealthy ways and appealing to anger and fear. For those and many other reasons, I could not in good conscience vote for him. Now some say, Mike, you're missing the point. We're not looking for a pastor.
We're looking for
a president. I'm not talking about a pastor. I'm talking about integrity. I'm talking about trustworthiness. I'm talking about understanding issues. Look, I found it very ugly. I didn't mention it on the air because I could bash Donald Trump every day, but that's not what I'm here to do. And I'm not announcing Senator Cruz got this because I'm not here as his cheerleader. I personally endorse Senator Cruz, but that's not what this radio show is about. And if he wasn't running, I'd still be sounding the alarm concerning Donald Trump and praying for God's best for him as well. But here, the horrible, tragic bombing in Pakistan, right? Radical Islamic bomber affiliated with the Taliban, from what we know, goes into a crowded children's park on Easter Sunday. It's especially crowded because it's Easter Sunday, especially large number of Christians there. He goes over, as I understand it, where the kids are on the swings playing and blows himself up, most of the casualties being women and children.
Oh,
right?
Devastating.
How can we even imagine, right? And Donald Trump tweets that out, you know, mourning that loss. Okay, that's fine. But then ends by saying, I alone can solve.
Oh,
I go, come on. Yes. You don't do that. So what concerns me is people who really believe it, that we need a strong man in there. And here's what they say. He's going to get the job done. We need someone who can fix the military, someone who can fix the economy. Those are our big issues. We don't need some pastor. But look, if you don't fear God, you don't have wisdom.
Right.
On a fundamental level.
And he thinks he is God, though. I mean, he thinks he can fix everything.
Yeah, I mean, there is that I can do it about him more than any candidate that I can remember seeing in my lifetime. And he's reality TV star. He's bigger than life. And I'm sure one-on-one he can be very endearing and very charming and very humble. But I do not see that manifest. The fact that he's not apologized for wrong things he's done, the fact that he justifies every attack, and when he doesn't have an answer, he just talks about how he's doing in the polls. I don't know how he's going to get someone's vote. And look, right now, especially with women, with his ridiculous attack on Heidi Cruz, right now his unlikability factor is very, very high. Now, what's God doing? I can't guarantee you. I pray for God's absolute best. And if God's raising up Donald Trump, save him, change him, transform him. But I'm going to vote, as we said, not based on speculation, but information. Not on who I hope a candidate will become, but who they are, what they've done. And it's between you and God, not between me, you, and God. Between you and God, what decisions you make on this. My bottom line today, time to wake up, time to be sober, time to be alert, time to do what's right.